So in a moment, I'm going to have you stand and greet one another. But when you stand and greet one another, what I want you to do is I'm going to want you to share your greatest road trip that you've ever taken with one another. Okay? Your best road trip. Now, before you can do that, we have to make sure we are on the same page about what a road trip is and what a road trip is not. Okay? Okay. Webster gives a really weak definition of a road trip. Webster says that a road trip is a journey which is taken by bus, car, or truck. Really? Those of you who know road trips know that is not a road trip. Urban Dictionary does slightly better when they say a road trip is a long and boring trip that eventually becomes fun and memorable. That's pretty good. But the definition we're going with of a road trip, it's a journey, okay? It's a journey when getting to where you are going is not as important as the trip to get there, okay? So a road trip definition that we're using for this entire series is a trip that we take where the destination is secondary and the trip and the experience is the primary, okay? So with that, I want you to stand, greet one another with your best road trip. If we can reel you guys in. Hello? Reel it in. Reel it in. Can I ask you a question? Is there a bottle of water that I left somewhere in the sanctuary? I don't know what I did with that. I lost my water. I don't have a clue where it is. How insane am I? Hey. I don't know where it is. So there's like a really good bottle of water floating around. If you find it, it's yours. Don't worry, it's not a cold, it's just allergies. So anybody want to share their road trip? Anybody? Someone, don't be shy. Where? Stand up. Where? Where's that? That's not a road trip. Oh, well. So the long and boring trip. Never mind. Tom, that was a wrong way to say it, son. Yeah, still married's much better. Who else has one? Just came back. How'd you go? Did you stay on the highway? Did you do fun stuff on the way that we can talk about in church? Okay. Then it's a road trip. See, Matt next week is taking a road trip. This week, Matt's going to San Diego because his youngest favorite son. Well, it's his favorite youngest son. He has a favorite oldest and a favorite youngest. He is graduating boot camp, and they're going to road trip to San Diego. So be in prayer for Matt. He won't be with us the next 2 weeks, next 2 Sundays, because he'll be watching his son graduate from Marine boot camp, and then Zach will be with us at least one Sunday. so we can make a fuss over Zach. So see, he's road tripping. Now, the key to a road trip, like I said, it's not about the destination. It's about what happens on the way. Joe and I took one yesterday. Thursday, we left for San Antonio to celebrate her parents' 50th wedding anniversary. That's where they wanted to have it. And it was a good weekend. It was fun. We had a good time. But the best part of it was yesterday. When we loaded up the Jeep to head back home, I told Jill I have a craving for good barbecue, right? So we have these two places we like in Luling to get barbecue. One is called, cleverly enough, get the name of this, Luling Barbecue. I'm sure they went through other names before getting there. That's the one we like the most. And so we went to Luling Barbecue, which is a big red barn-looking building, and they were having some sort of septic problem. And there was this odd odor, which wasn't the aroma of barbecue filling the restaurant. So we left and we walked down to our other barbecue place called Central Market. City Market. Central Market's where we do other things. City Market. And I'm assuming that a lot of people went to Luling Barbecue first and left, because when we got to City Market, the line was all the way around inside the restaurant, and we'd still be there waiting if we stayed. So those of you who know me know I don't like to wait, so we left. We get back in the Jeep, and I told Jill, we've got to get good barbecue. So she whips out the phone, and she urban spoons, and she finds a barbecue joint, coincidentally enough, called City Market in Schulenburg. And so we get on I-10, and we're driving to Schulenburg, okay? There came an exit where we had a moment of choice. I had never been to Shiner, right? So Jill looked up Shiner, and there was a good barbecue joint there called Frank's. I didn't know how far Shiner was, so we get off and we drive. We go to places I've never seen, heard of. We get to Shiner, we find Frank's, and it's closed. There is nowhere else to eat in Shiner, Texas on a Saturday afternoon. So we get on a road called 90, which I later found out was a different 90 than the 90 we thought it was. And we're going outside of Shiner, and we're cruising. Dan's not in here, right? We're doing the speed limit. And all of a sudden, I do this huge U-turn, because on the side of the road is this incredible Catholic cathedral. I mean, absolutely gorgeous on the outside, in the middle of nowhere. And so we parked, and we tried a door, and the door's open, and we go inside, and someone's practicing the organ, and it is a holy moment in this incredible sanctuary that, if you're ever in Shiner, blow off the brewery and go to this Catholic church. It is phenomenal. And an incredible history. So we sat in there for a while, and then it's what you get when you're married to a preacher. So then I had to find the Methodist church, which was just a little bit down. It's just a weeny, ugly looking building. But the Catholic. So then Jill finds a barbecue joint in Hallettsville. I don't know where Hallettsville is, but she said we're on the right road. So I was excited. So we're driving to Hallettsville, and we're still talking about the Catholic Church compared to the weeny Methodist Church. And we're in Hallettsville now, right? And we're driving around the square. Those of you who've been in Hallettsville know there's not a lot on the square. And we couldn't find the restaurant, and finally we found it, and it was closed. And there are hours on the door, only in hours, ready? 8 a.m. to closing. Very specific. And I told Jill, I said, I wonder what would happen if we said church, 8 a.m. to it's over. I'd kind of like that, right? So we're in Hallettsville, and Jill says, well, the next place is City Market in Schulenburg, where we were going to start. So we get to Schulenburg and City Market, we find it, and it's closed. It is 5 minutes till 3 at this point. I am starving. We didn't eat at Bucky's because we were going to have barbecue. We didn't want to ruin it with Bucky's barbecue. And so we, next door to the City Market in Schulenburg is a garden nursery and company and cafe. And it's open till 3. But it's open. So we fly in with the Jeep, kicking up dirt as we slam the brakes on, run in, and are we too late? And this wonderful server, she gave us her name because we became good friends. I got her whole life story, and it was Jill and I have a boring life, right? And she is all tatted up, and it is wonderful, and she is phenomenal, and she gets us food, and we keep them open way past 3, and she doesn't complain, and the cooks are mad at us, I'm sure. And we had the best meal we've had in years at this little dive in Schulenburg, Garden and Company Cafe, or whatever it's called. In fact, it's so good that we're going to go back, because on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, they serve dinner. So we're going to make a Schulenburg run just for that, which won't be a road trip because it's there. It's about the destination. All right? So we finally got home at like 6:30-ish, and we should have been home at 3, but we took a road trip. Jill and I love road trips. Matt asked me at the first service, said, what's your favorite road trip? I said, I don't know. We take so many of just, hey, let's just go, and we don't know where we're going. But it's about the road trip. So I want to be clear that we understand what a road trip is. What makes a road trip, as opposed to just a vacation or a trip or a journey? And like I said, it all revolves around the main purpose of the trip. Because on a road trip, it's not about the destination. It's about getting there. It's about the experience of the journey. And unlike Webster, I don't think it has to be on car or truck or bus. Some of the best road trips Jill and I have made is when we park the car and we just walk around exploring, finding things. So the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this road trip that the children of Israel took. They didn't get in a car, they didn't get in a bus, they didn't get in a truck, but God led them on this incredible road trip. Now, understand, it was a road trip. Because although God was taking him to the promised land, the destination wasn't as important to God as the type of people they were becoming along the way. Now, most of us know the story, right? We know about the burning bush, and Moses goes to the burning bush, and God says, Moses, I want you to go to the Pharaoh, and I want you to sing him a song. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh and begins singing, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, whoa, let my people go, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, you want to join me? We're going to practice, because we're going to be Moses. Okay, ready? Pharaoh, Pharaoh, whoa, let my people go, yeah, 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 yeah. You messed up on the yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyhow, you get the idea. And so according to the book of Exodus, 9 times Moses goes and Pharaoh says no. And on the 10th time, Moses goes, Pharaoh says no, and Moses says, you may want to rethink this one. Because if you don't let my people go, God is going to come and he's going to strike down the firstborn male of every household. And Pharaoh said no, and here's what happened. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. Listen to this. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the first offspring in the land of Egypt, from the oldest child of Pharaoh sitting on his throne to the oldest child of the prisoner in jail, and all the first offspring of the animals. And when Pharaoh, all his officials, and all the Egyptians got up that night, a terrible cry of agony rang out across Egypt because every house had someone in it who had died. Then the Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron that night and said, get up, get away from my people, both you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you said. You can even take your flocks and your herds as you ask. Just go and bring me his blessing as well. And the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the land because they thought, we will all be dead. Now, remember, the key to a road trip is it's not about the destination. Yes, God wanted the people to get to the promised land, but it was more important to God what type of people they would become along the way. And in chapter 12, the Israelites' road trip begins. Now, originally, when I was going to preach this series, I was going to spend time talking about what happens to the Israelites when they're on the road trip, when they're in the wilderness. But yesterday, Jill reminded me of a very important, probably the most important rule of road trips. You have to agree to go on the road trip, right? I mean, I could have turned to Jill after Luling, the fiasco that was, and I could have said, hey, let's go find barbecue in Shiner. And if she would have said no, we would have stayed on old boring I-10, would have gotten home at 2:30, but we would have missed the adventure, the journey of the trip. See, it wasn't about the barbecue at that point. It was about the experience. And that's how this road trip with Israel was. And so rather than talk about what happens in the wilderness, now we may do that in fall, we're going to look at what happened to begin the road trip today. See, because there's this little passage in Exodus that's just kind of buried away. I want you, if you have your Bibles, open it to 13, verse 17 and 18. It starts with God understanding. Did I mention that, like, the first rule of road tripping for most after the approval to go is the fact that you can't stay on a highway? If you're on a highway, it's not a road trip. I mean, if you're on Route 66, you're excused. Pacific Coast Highway, you're all right. But for the most part, road trips don't happen on highways. They happen the back way, the roads that no one else goes, the road less traveled. God understood this. Listen to what God does to these people. When Pharaoh let the people go, God didn't lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though that was a shorter route. God was taking them on a road trip. That would be the highway. God thought if the people had to fight and face war, they will run back to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the Red Sea desert, and the Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt ready for battle. Now, if your Bible says ready for battle or with military weapons or armed or what, anything like that, I want you to underline it. Do we have the next slide, the one with the red? There, say, ready for battle. Because that's probably, even though all our translations say something like that, that's probably not a good translation. And here's why. If the Exodus writer wanted us to know that in addition to the matzah bread, the unleavened bread, the gold, the silver, the musical instruments, and the crops, and the cattle and the herds of animals that they took with them, if the Exodus writer wanted us to know that he was also bringing weapons, that wouldn't make much sense, since God didn't want the people to fight because he led them the roundabout way. So why would they be prepared for battle if God was taking them the long way around? So there's a rabbinic thought that says that's a bad translation. In fact, the Hebrew word that is translated arm, ready for battle, armed for battle, or military weapons, is a word shamashin. And shamashin comes from the Hebrew root word shamash, which means five. And so there's this one small thought among rabbis that what the Exodus writer wanted us to know is that when they left Egypt, they left in groups of five. Well, that makes no sense to me. I don't care if they left in groups of five, groups of 10, groups of 20. So there's this larger rabbinic thought that says, no, it's not that they didn't have military weapons. They didn't leave in groups of five. That perhaps what the Exodus writer wanted us to learn is that four out of five Israelites chose to stay in Egypt, which means only one out of five went. So what the Hebrew writer was saying, according to the rabbis who buy into this theory, is that it says that the children of Israel left Egypt with diminished numbers. And that of the four of the five that stayed, they all died in the 3 days of darkness that would follow. Now that blows my mind. Because if that's correct, what that's telling me is that only one person out of five said, I'd rather be free and not know where I'm going than stay behind in Egypt. Four said, this slavery thing, it's bad, but at least we know what it is and we're comfortable. And so we're going to stay here even if it means we die. And I thought about this yesterday. And how many of us choose that? How many of us, seriously, choose like the four or five? We don't really like where we are, maybe, but it's comfortable and we know it, so we choose the safety and the comfort of here in Egypt, slave rather than free, because we're afraid if we step out and follow God, we don't know where he's going. But then we have to remember, we're on a road trip, and so it's not about the destination, it's about the type of people we become along the way. And so when you stay here, you don't become the person God wants you to become. Because God shapes you, forms you, molds you on the road trip into the type of follower of Jesus Christ that he desires us to be. And I look at my own life and I'm just as guilty as anyone else. There are times in my life, if I'm honest with you, and you know I generally am, I don't mind telling you when I fail, when I mess up, when I have questions. There are times in my life when I say, I just rather stay here because I know it, it's safe, it's comfortable, it's easy. But God's calling me there. And God has to take a 2x4 upside my head to get me to take the first step. Because it's safe here. It's dangerous here. It's risky here. I would always tell you, if you're following God and it's easy, you ain't following God. Because God calls us out of our comfort zones. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at what the Israelites had to do to get ready for their road trip. And the reason why we're doing this is because we're on a road trip now. God is wanting to take us on a road. Some of you he wants to take individually. You are stuck in your Egypt, and that's where you're staying, and God's calling you out of it and say, look, you can leave that behind. There's a whole new world I have for you, and you just got to step out, and you got to be willing to risk it, and you got to be willing to trust me, and you got to take the first step. You got to say, I want to go on the road trip with you, God. I don't know where it's going, but I want to go. So some of you are being called out individually, but all of us as a church are being called on a road trip because we're about to embark on an adventure that, well, we don't know where it's going. I mean, we're about to do some stuff here, and I can't tell you what it's going to look like because, unfortunately, God hasn't shared that with me. But God simply has said, Marty, you need to lead this church and you need to follow me and we're going to step out and I'm going to take you where you need to go. And it's not about the destination, Marty. It's about the way the church is going to become on the way to that place. So there are some people who have some little angst going on because when they ask me, well, what's it going to look like? I say, I don't know. And I will admit to you, I am nervous about it, but yet I'm excited. I'll tell you the thing, I'm a little bit afraid. I'd rather stay where it's safe and easy and we just rock along doing what we're doing, but that's not my wish for this church. Remember last week I shared with you my wish and I said, man, I wish we could make some, I want this church to make something beautiful for God. That's what we're about to do. We don't know what it's gonna look like, but God is leading us to something beautiful. And I said, I wanna be a church when people accuse us of turning the world upside down. I'm going to be a church that is a tiny pencil in the hand of God that God uses to write love letters to our community. See, that's what God's about to do. And we have to decide whether we're going to walk with him or stay where it's safe. I'm going to step out. I'm going to go where I don't know where we're going, but I know God is leading me. Seminary, I took this class, Prayer and Spirituality, one of my favorite classes, and I got introduced to this writer, a guy by the name of Thomas Merton, and I love Merton. And I think the reason why I love him is because he's so real and so honest. He doesn't mind sharing his faults and his shortcomings, his questions and his doubts. And we had to read a book called Thoughts on Solitude. And in this book, Merton writes this gorgeous prayer. And this is how it goes. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me. And you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen. Merton knew that life was about a road trip with God. And we didn't always know where we were going. And it wasn't about the destination. It's about the type of people we're going to become along the way. So the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what we need to bring with us and what we need to leave behind on the road trip that God is about to begin with us. And I hope you'll join me in praying this prayer. I'm going to pray it every day at least once. We're going to give you a prayer. When you come forward for communion, at some point you're going to get a little card with the prayer on it. And just take it home and pray it at least once a day, asking God to just lead us and asking God to give us the courage to say yes. I've already decided I'm going. I don't want to miss the adventure because I think something amazing is going to happen. The only question you have to ask is, are you going to follow or are you going to stay in Egypt? The road trip is an exciting adventure. Unknown, dangerous, risky, but I wouldn't miss it for the world. What about you? And the road trip begins by taking the first step to a table. A table that God has prepared for us. When we hear these words, the Lord be with you. And also with you. Is that up?